Good morning. I'm going to present some data that we've done over a number of years because we've been working a lot with nematode black root rot interactions, but I'm trying to extract some of the data for black root rot to ask a question, what are the costs of chronic seedling disease versus acute disease where we get stand loss? And so you see a number of symptoms associated with seedling disease, the seed rot phase or pre-emergent damping off where we're not getting any plants appearing in the field, the post-emergent damping off, which you see there where we had emergence, seedlings died. All these reduce plant populations in the field, produce skips that may reduce yield. But anytime somebody writes about seedling disease, they talk about this reduced seedling vigor and the importance of this. But if you go to the refereed literature, there's very little data that tries to put the importance or losses associated with reduced seedling vigor. And we assume that both the population reductions and reductions in seedling vigor are going to reduce yields. And certainly seedling diseases are caused by a complex of pathogens. The middle culture is Pythium and the right culture is Rhizoctonia. Both these are acute seedling pathogens resulting in either seed rot or plant seedling death. They may be present on surviving seedlings, but probably not good indicators of chronic seedling diseases because of that acute phase. But black root rot, the culture on the left, is really ideal for this type of study because in most cases they will not cause plant death. So you see on the left side the cortical black root rot associated with this pathogen versus the right seedling, which is a healthy seedling. But even where we have this amount of discoloration and colonization, generally we don't get seedling death. The chlamydospores are the important survival structure, and they germinate only in response to nutrients or seed or root exudates to infect the seedling. What happens with black root rot, if this is a healthy seedling here, we see the epidermis and then the cortical layer. The pathogen infects the cortical root layer, causing cortical cell death. Generally, it doesn't enter into the vascular cylinder. Here's the endodermis here. This is 2 weeks after planting. This would be 6 weeks after planting. So you still have a nice vascular tissue here with phloem and xylem, but most of the cortical tissue is lost by then, and phalaviopsis is limited to that cortical tissue. And so as the plant develops, produces a paraderm, essentially a lot of the disease tissue is sloughed off. But the question is that cortical root rot important to final yields? And so here's just a field situation to try to illustrate this. Plant populations are uniform across that area, but obviously we have seedlings that differ in terms of their vigor. And the question is, what is the yield loss associated with that? This is a field that has a lot of black root rot, but also reniform nematodes. So all the stunting is not only due to black root rot. So I'll show some of the students' data where we look at root knot nematode interaction with phalaviopsis, but only looking at the phalaviopsis part of this study. First, just mentioning a couple of changes that occur in root architecture or growth. Obviously, with black root rot, we get seedling height reductions, reductions in fresh weight, and reductions in top dry weight. If you look at what happens to the root system and look at some of the architectural changes, so altitude is what is the number of links, which are the root segments in a pathway to the base of the plant. So, and for this root architecture data, this is some Jinbing Ma did. So here we've got an altitude of 9. Magnitude is the number of links, what are the exterior link or first link to absorb water and nutrients. So the magnitude would be the number of those exterior links And then exterior path link is the total number of links that go into moving water and minerals to the base of the plant. So just to emphasize that it obviously is causing changes in root growth, not just discoloration. You see the magnitude is reduced dramatically. Again, the number of root tips that are absorbing water and minerals, the altitude, the length of that pathway to an individual path to the base is reduced, and then the total path length is reduced. So it's not affecting just one parameter of the root, it's affecting general root growth and architecture. And now on to the question, does black root rot or this chronic seedling disease actually translate into yield loss? This is data from microplot studies. We looked at a number of different soil textures. A lot of this textural work was designed to look at the nematode aspect of the disease interaction. The part that I'm going to look at today is if we have Flaviopsis with or without the nematode, and this is about 100 chlamydospores per gram of soil. So this would be moderate populations that we see in a lot of fields in areas where we have a black root rot problem. And we did measure a number of parameters, what we call early season, about 3 to 4 weeks after planting. Again, at 6 to 7 weeks mid-season and at the end of the season. And again, what I'd like to look at is just the black root rot part of this complex. And what you see is we do get an interaction with the nematode in 2006. These other 2 years, the pathogen, the black root rot pathogen by itself reduces plant height, not only in the seedling stage, but into the mid-season stage where we don't have a lot of the black root rot if you dig up those roots. A lot of that tissue has been sloughed off. And this is an example of those height reductions we get. The other thing I'd like to point out is with Flaviopsis, it is sensitive to texture as well, and this is Juan Haraba's work, that most of your height reductions are on your heavier soils. As you get into, and this is percent sand content, so as you're getting up into 80% sand, you're really not getting any black root rot effect as far as reductions in plant height. So it does reduce plant height in all 3 years, but primarily in 2007 and 8, where we didn't have a nematode interaction. And then if you look at yield, here we get what the students have talked about for a number of years. We get an interaction between having the nematode present and the black root rot pathogen, Flaviopsis. So neither one reduced yield, but the combination does reduce yield. But what I'd like to concentrate on is this 2007 and 2008 data where the nematode or Flaviopsis reduce yield, but you don't have an interaction. So what is the yield losses associated with black root rot? And this is the 2008 data, but if you look at percent yield loss, even when we had an interaction, Flaviopsis did cause a percent loss, even though it wasn't significant. But these other 2 years where we didn't have an interaction, we had a loss from this chronic seedling disease of around 10 to 20%. And a lot of this has to do with how severe your black root rot is and percent colonization. So when we're talking about black root rot, we're not talking about the percentage of plants that have disease. We're talking about the amount of discoloration or colonization on that root system. So this is the year where we didn't have a Flaviopsis only response. We have about 60% of the root system being colonized on these seedlings. Where we're getting this yield loss is where we're having seedlings with 70 to 90% colonization within that first 3 to 4 weeks. And then you're getting those season-long effects. And again, you see this textural effect where black root rot is much more important on our heavier soils than our very sandy soils. So in conclusion, Reduced seeding vigor is very important to final yield loss, even though we mainly look at plant population changes. For the black root rot pathogen, which is a chronic seedling disease, not an acute disease, we have about 10 to 20% loss in microplot studies using populations that reflect what we have in the field. And thus, it is important to limit seedling disease early in the season, not only to maintain stands, but prevent these chronic seedling disease losses that we often talk about but don't have much data for. And you can do this through planting environment, but also the triazole fungicides are very effective against black root rot. So you're not going to produce a healthy seedling, but you're going to reduce that colonization. And just a 10, 20, 30% reduction in colonization will change the chronic seedling disease part. So with that, I'll try to answer any questions.
Any time for questions?
Yeah, Terry.
The difference between when it colonized 90% versus 60%, speculate on what happened environmentally or whatever, where you got that difference.
Where we get that difference in colonization is those years, 2007 and 8, were cooler for a longer period of time. We tried to manage water uniformly across all soil textures, so matrix potential wasn't as important as that temperature effect. And certainly your experience too would be the same, that you know, you get that persistent cool wet weather for not 1 week, but you go out 3 to 4 weeks and then you get a lot of stunting occurring, and obviously they're not going to recover from that.
Yes, that you have a slower root growth in those years, and that may be.
Well, certainly that's part of it, Terry. But we have the uninfested check there that we're comparing the yields to. So you're looking at relative yield to a cool, wet year without the pathogen versus with the pathogen. So you've got the slow growth and development, which the farmer's concerned about. But if you have a black root rot situation, that may not linger and reduce yields, but where you have the black root rot problem, it's going to be an additive cumulative effect.
How do you maintain your moisture in your microplots?
Moisture, both gravimetrically and with a theta probe, we'd monitor. Every day for each textural zone or textural treatment, and then we'd water back to saturation, and it was a little less than a half inch of rainfall when we did it. And so they were managed. So there's some variation, but we tried to maintain it. Early in the season, we were looking at around negative 20 joules per kilogram, which would be a wetter than field capacity, and then the rest of the season started watering at about field capacity when they reached that. Thanks.
Thank you, Craig.